America, there's a rule against alcoholic beverages. Infraternities on probation.
Say, how about joining me and my friend over there? Come on, join us in a beer, okay?
Get me another beer, Dragon Lady.
It was the greatest beer in all the world.
Just drink the fucking beer, and you'll get the hang of it.
Listen, they want us to pay for the beer we drink. You guys better split.
Well, I thought you'd just buy me a beer.
Hey, you want some help with that beer, kid?
I have respect for beer.
Save one of those beers for me, eh?
You want some of this milk?
Rather have a beer.
You want a beer, pal?
What do you drink?
We got this non-alcoholic shit.
What's that?
Like a non-alcoholic beer. It's got no alcohol.
It's a beer?
Yeah, with no alcohol.
But you drink enough, and if you drink a lot, they get you fucked up.
No, there's no alcohol. That's the fucking point.
Can't imagine ever not enjoying getting fucked up.
Yeah.
I love it. How's being sober?
Fuck, it sucks. And just like the movies, we play out on the last scene. You won't cry, I won't scream.
Hey everybody, this is Dustin.
And this is Seth.
And we are drunk at the movies. Brought to you by Bearded Owl Brewing in Peoria, Illinois, down on State Street. Well, kids, we're wrapping up the month of December. The holidays are drawing to a close. We've got one more holiday-inspired episode, and it's a tale as old as time, or at least, what, 1800s?
Strong to say the least.
Yeah. There are a million different versions of this. I own probably 10 of them on DVD. This one is a favorite. We are talking about Scrooged, directed by Richard Donner, starring Bill Murray, the one, the only. This was actually his first starring role after Ghostbusters.
And I think that Richard Donner was not prepared to work with somebody who was so great at improvisational comedy.
Yeah.
Which is strange, because Richard Donner is such a great comedic director.
Yeah, I mean, he worked with the greats like Corey Feldman and Sean Astin.
And exactly, when you can work with those guys as children and make them seem hilarious,
right,
then you know what you're doing behind the camera.
Jeff Cohen. I pulled Chunk's real name, folks. So we're not doing this alone, much like 2 weeks ago when we did Santa Claus the movie. We had a special guest, and we have a special guest for this episode. He is an old friend of Seth and I's from back in the peak and high days, and we thought, hey, you know what, we haven't hung out with him in a hot minute, let's drink some beer, watch a movie, and laugh. And Kevin, welcome to the show.
Pleased to be here.
You say that now, but we'll see by the time we're done with the movie.
And it gets better the more you drink.
Yes. So, as we mentioned, we are brought to you by Bearded Owl Brewing, and we have a special beer, as we do every episode. And this one, I'd been waiting for us to have a Bill Murray episode, and it just worked out because this is actually the last keg of this beer. So we got it just in time. They will make it again, but you better get in quick if you want to try this batch. This is the Carl Spackler, which is a sour, and it says Cinderella story out of nowhere, inspired by an Arnold Palmer, but in a beer. We brewed a kettle sour with real lemon and a dose of Earl Grey tea. So we got that going for us, which is nice.
I just had my first sip, and I would say, it's in the hole.
Hey, so yes, you can get this 112 State Street. They've had some fun holiday festivities. They had the vinyl night last week on Saturday. I was unable to attend, but my presence was known because I put my Christmas vinyl collection on loan. And my music was being spun all day. And I worked in some faves. There was some Bad Religion. There's some Vandals. It wasn't just the Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra. You got to crank it up a little bit.
Did you throw in Christmas at Ground Zero?
I do not have, I think that's on Polka Party. I don't have that one on vinyl.
Yeah, that's Polka Party.
Yeah, I know my Weird Al. Don't.
I love when people know what songs are from what Weird Al albums. It warms my heart.
But I put a bunch of 45s and LPs on the bar last night when I was getting this filled up, and they were very much appreciative of that. And then tonight, I will probably be there for this. It's another trivia night, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation Trivia.
Nice.
So that should be a fun one. I have been recruited, and the plan is I will be there playing. So, hey, hopefully I see some of you guys out there tonight at Bearded Owl.
Now, are you allowed to win or not? Since
I haven't been told I can't. So I hope.
See, Bearded Owl was laid back. They don't have those corporate rules and regulations. Yeah,
the quizmaster doesn't have to know. You know, that's privileged information if I'm on the payroll. But anyways, thank you again to Bearded Owl. And before we get into the movie, we're going to play our opening credits song while we drink a little bit of the Carl Spackler. This one's another favorite band of mine. In fact, they were my second most played band on Spotify this year, I found out. Been a fan since high school. Screeching Weasel, Chicago pop punk legends. They came out with this song last year, and it is called Christmas Eve. So I figured it's an appropriate pick for this movie. So we're going to let Ben Weasel and the boys take it away, and we'll be right back here on Drunk at the Movies.
And here we are again on Christmas Eve. I gotta tell you, I just can't believe we made it through another year, and now we're here together. There's nothing out there but tinsel, glitter, lights. When we're around the fire, everything's alright. Help but wish that this could last forever. Merry Christmas, baby. How I miss you. Oh, I miss you. Cause when I was gone 100 miles an hour, the kids are all asleep, and now it's only you and me. Oh, I wish that Christmas time could last forever.
And that was Screeching Weasel. We got one more song for you later on in the episode, but it's time to get to the main event.
Since this movie takes place on Christmas Eve, I think that's a great segue, that song, into this.
Yeah, and wait till you hear the song at the end. It ties in, too. So, if you have a DVD copy of Scrooged, you should have it up on the menu right now, and hit play in 3, 2, 1.
Now, Kevin, when's the last time you saw Scrooged?
Last night, actually.
All right. So
the man comes prepared.
I was going to come in cold, but I figured, you know, prepare a little bit for the...
Well, it's more than I did.
I just thought you were a big fan. Like, you watch this movie every day.
There's not a night I haven't watched it.
This sounds like Danny Elfman music.
Yeah, I think going into a Christmas landscape.
Santa Danny Claus Elfman the movie,
exactly.
Part 2. Superman 3. Yeah, that's a very familiar shot right there.
Mm-hmm. Now it feels kind of Tim Burton-y. Danny Elfman music,
I know,
playing,
that's what I'm
then
saying.
Going into a model.
That was the first thing I realized when I was watching it last night, was how many different movies it reminded me of
mm-hmm.
like, at first.
And what's great is that this whole opening is satirizing the way big productions are done. And so it looks like it's going to be, you know, Santa Claus the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But we find out very soon that this is sort of like the opening to Tropic Thunder.
It's the world of David the Gnome. Did you ever watch that on Nickelodeon?
I know of it.
Tom Bosley was the voice.
I like that goth elf that was hanging out over there. We'll see her again later. Yeah.
How many of these people were in Time Bandits?
Did Terry Gilliam direct this?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Christmas at Ground Zero.
So we just saw a rocket crash into Santa's workshop. For those not watching.
It's Red Dawn. Oh, there's the goth elf.
There's the crow elf.
Yeah. She's like half Gelfling, too.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Die Hard 2 action.
Christmas movie.
And Lethal Weapon is a Christmas movie, also directed by Richard Donner.
I agree. And there's the $6 million man.
The $6 million man.
That's what I just said.
Of course there is.
Star of, Mazda commercials right now?
Yes, that too. What happens to me? The world couldn't afford it. And that minigun prop he has was the minigun prop that was used in Predator.
You're being a real
by Jesse Ventura.
Yes, former governor of Minnesota.
Yes.
7 o'clock. Psycho C. Santa's workshop. Eat this.
This is a great opening because we go to the TV screen right at the moment that the audience is thinking, this is a joke, right? Yeah. Donna reveals that it is a joke right when we...
And then we have Robert Goulet.
Invites you to share a homestyle holiday.
Which I just now think of Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live.
I just think of The Naked Gun 2.
Oh, okay.
Because he's such a great villain in that.
This is so absurd.
9 o'clock.
This is great.
This is like UHF.
The Rule of Three. This movie was co-written by Michael O'Donohue from National Lampoon, one of the founding writers of National Lampoon magazine. And you can feel it in this opening. This is all these satirical Christmas and TV shows.
Irritable Bowel Channel.
I love that. You'll love it. That joke's repeated a couple times.
All right. Well, I see one familiar face.
Yeah. I see two. There's, what's her name? The woman at the table. I can't think of her name. She's been in a lot of Richard Donner films.
She's in the Monster Squad, too. She's the mom.
Wolfman's got nards.
Alfre Woodard, love her.
Show me the Scrooge promo.
And who is portraying Scrooge?
There's a cold, bleak Christmas.
Not this old guy.
This is John Houseman in his second final. Okay. I think back to the Naked Gun, he was the driving instructor in the first Naked Gun movie.
Immortal Christmas classic, Scrooge, starring Buddy Hackett.
There we go. Buddy Hackett. And Mary Shapoopy.
As Tiny Tim, hosted by Sir John Houseman. Scrooge, it will touch your every heartstring. That's right, it all starts on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve on IBC. You'll love it.
Oh my gosh. Does that suck?
So Donner and Bill Murray apparently didn't get along real well.
Yeah, I read the same thing. There was definitely some beef between them.
And I don't know how aggravated it got, but there was definitely tension because they had very very different styles approaching the production of the movie. I think Bill Murray wanted to improvise a lot, even though he helped rewrite the script.
Yeah, I heard the script was like pretty much ripped apart
live
and
TV show.
Kind of Frankensteined back together.
Yeah, I think that the two guys who wrote the screenplay had they had a very good idea, but it was kind of a blotchy script that didn't really come together very well. And Bill Murray helped kind of make it all work and brought it together and added a bunch of jokes, but improvised a lot during production. And,
help me.
excuse me. Great line. Very Bill Murray line.
I don't want to be out of line here.
He was watching Mr. Magoo.
Well, we've been running that spot so, up for over a month. And
that voice, Bobcat Goldthwait, for those who can't tell.
I am the youngest
president.
And this would have been Police Academy era, like a little bit.
Yeah, this was probably this and Shakes the Clown were like his two big things.
Hot up until to Trot. Well,
yeah, Hot to Trot. There was that too.
The people already want to watch the show.
And he's done a good job at getting away from this comedic persona that he sort of developed.
Well, he's mostly a director now.
Yeah.
Now.
World's Greatest Dad with Robin Williams was one of his, I believe. Okay.
Pretty dark comedy.
Oh.
I heard he did a documentary about suicide.
Perhaps I can.
Oh, well, that's. And
here's the kind of thing I would have done. A little bit of a leap
from the funny voice Fall Guy, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those Tears of the Clown thing. Tears of Shakes the Clown things.
He's enjoying this way too much.
Drug addiction.
Yeah, this is Christmassy.
We saw a plane blow up. Unfortunately, I read that there was a plane bombing like right after this came out.
Oh, shit.
So they couldn't quite edit that one out.
So this is the first kind of Christmas Carol story where Scrooge is actually funny.
Yeah.
I mean, he's also younger, because typically he's old.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this is a modern take on it. And, of course, Bill Murray's going to Bill Murray all over this thing.
I think this was getting him ready for his role in Groundhog Day.
Yeah, which we did that movie last year on Groundhog Day.
And I love both movies. And they really have very different tones, even though they're very similar in theme.
Commercial? If you run that, you're gonna frighten people.
I think I'm way off base here?
Yes, you're a tad off base, sir. that thing looked like the
so he's the family. Bob Cratchit, kind of.
Well, it's a little late to get this kind of feedback.
Yeah, it's almost like they split Bob Cratchit into two roles, where it's him and
Alfre.
Yeah, and Alfre Woodard. Forget her character's name.
Just lose, like,
Grace.
You know the part with the gun and the blood, right, and the guy shooting up, and then they
if I can change, the guy shooting up.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You know, in a lot of ways, I think we're a little bit alike, sir. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, even though there was tension between Bill Murray and Richard Donner.
I'm gonna scare the Dickens out of people.
Dickens.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Miss Cool.
They keep the joke
the
and then reference.
Dickens out of people.
That is a crap no joke. Dickens. I love it.
Grace, who is that guy?
Elliot Loudermilk.
Okay.
What a great comedy name, Elliot Loudermilk.
I think that was a band, Loudermilk.
But it's Christmas.
Thank you. Call accounting. Stop his bonus. Ooh, a clear shot at his back.
Elliot Loudermilk. Code 9.
Grace, what in the hell is this?
Well, that's a painting one of my kids did. There's Santa Claus and there's Mrs. Claus.
Honey, how many fingers does Mrs. Santa Claus have here?
11.
11. Right. It's crap. Lose it. I don't want it on the wall.
Well, that wasn't nice.
She's an amazingly understanding woman. I'll just come home and I'll say...
You can tell he's having a lot of fun just playing a super evil guy.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many TV execs he actually based his performance on.
Mr. Cross, it's time for your Christmas list.
Okay, read me the list. I want to get this over with.
Sammy Goldberg.
Beth Tal.
Lou Parker.
Send him a VHS home video recorder.
Colonel Tom Parker.
Elvis's manager.
The Beth Tal.
I think a VHS home video recorder was a pretty big deal in 1988.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of virtues in taking a bus to work, you know. Oh, God, those thanks a lot. And Merry Christmas.
Babalu Kaluda.
What?
The bath towel. Elliot Loudermilk's leaving early today. Move, get out of here. Duh! 4 minutes and 40 seconds.
Glenn Whitaker.
What was the last rating on Poliso?
5.2 Nielsen.
Police Zoo.
Towel.
This is a weird network.
Towel.
Your only brother.
Isn't his brother actually played by his brother?
Yes. Who isn't his only brother?
No. I think
he has three brothers, and all of them are in this movie at some point.
Thank you.
Most of these are towel. Be wrong once, okay?
Mr. Rhinelander's on his way down.
Is getting a towel like the adult equivalent of getting socks?
Boobs. Pardon me. Oh, excuse me. Grace, put yourself down for a towel, too.
What about my bonus?
Towel or a face cloth?
Ah, shit.
Right? Hey, press.
Hey, it's Robert Mitchum.
Grace, you look great. You've been working
in a role
out.
That they weren't sure they could get him Grace? To do.
Preston, just looking at some of this ink.
And he's hilarious,
Scrooge,
isn't it?
Mary Lou Retton, this Tiny Tim. Can you believe the first
Inside Sports? I totally forgot about that magazine. I don't even think it exists anymore. I mean,
do any magazines?
I was just getting ready to say, like, the fact that any magazine exists is something. And we got, I think, Jim Palmer there in his jockeys on the back cover. Just in case you wanted to see Baltimore Orioles great and his package. Because that's what every sports fan wants to see.
No.
This is great. This head of this organization—is he the? He owns the
48 million.
What am I trying to say? TV station and
on pet food alone.
Bill Murray runs it. I think.
I think so. Yeah.
Now.
Anyway, his idea is to start making TV shows that have a lot of things in it that might attract pets because they think that pets are a new demographic. So they want more mice and more squirrels and stuff in movies. And they actually have that now.
Right? I know.
That actually exists.
That's what's messed up.
Walk with me, Frank.
Yeah, Robert Mitchum died in 97. And he had did some roles close to the end of his life. I think Dead Man's probably one of the last ones I remember seeing. Yeah.
Great movie. Exactly. I think.
You remember Kojak and the Lollipops?
He was in, he had a cameo in the Cape Fear remake. Since he was, you know.
Right, in the original.
Max Cady in the original.
Wasn't there a Dormouse in Scrooge?
No, but now that you say it.
Are you going to make a Mitchum? YouTube video. Did he repeat himself a lot?
I don't think so. He just talked slow and looked creepy.
Everything is riding on it.
Don't worry, Preston. I'm overseeing every aspect of production. We'll own Christmas.
Now, Kevin, are you a big Christmas movie fan?
You know, I'm really not.
Lunch tomorrow?
Well, thanks for being here.
You're fired.
There's a, you know, like, as far as music, that's kind of more my bag. And, people always say, well, I'll listen to anything but country and rap. I'll listen to anything but Christmas music.
Yeah.
That's the genre that gets me.
Have you seen Preston?
But
I listen to a lot of Christmas music.
I'm going to be one of those people and say, oh, you just haven't heard the right Christmas music.
Yeah.
But no, it's maybe I just haven't acquired or developed a palate right.
Maybe you haven't developed a soul.
I need a full report on a guy named Bryce Cummings. He's an L.A. slime ball.
Okay, you're doing Helmsley Palace at 7 o'clock, and I'm going to leave. I'm going to take my son.
No, you're not. You're staying here with me.
Her hair is something.
I'm taking my son to the doctor.
Grace, when
that's
I work
one
late,
thing I noticed last
late.
Night was the hairstyles. You don't see Bill Murray's hairstyle. You just don't see it like that these days.
Right. And even in the flashback to show that he's younger, it's just a longer version of the same haircut.
Right. Yeah.
It's like an almost mullet, but
yeah.
Or your brother's waiting inside. Oh, and I didn't tell him about his great Christmas towel.
Francis?
Looks like Bill Hicks.
A little rough on her out there, weren't you?
Well, it does. And they forget their names, besides Brian Doyle Murray, who shows up later on.
Right.
He's in this as well, but I forget which of the brothers that is. But that is Bill Murray's actual brother, as we said earlier.
Oh, there's Miles Davis.
Yeah, for a two-second cameo.
And Paul Schaefer. David Sanborn, I believe. Yeah, Feed the Starving Musicians.
And there are a bunch of cameos in this movie, even by the director and his cousin.
Sweet. Frank, you don't like
if peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis. Not really. That's just what I heard in a movie once.
All these idiots are going to be home watching a boob tube for me tonight. I am the biggest fan that Christmas ever had. So,
oh, wow. That sounded very Trumpian.
None.
Come on, why not?
Don't start, James.
Come on, the whole family will be there. It'll be
wonder
fun.
If Bearded Owl would consider making a bitch's brew.
Well, actually, Dogfish Head already has.
No shit.
There's, you can find it. I think you might still actually be able to track some down, but Dogfish Head, they're from the Pacific North. No, they're Northeast, not Northwest. They make a lot of music-inspired beer, and they have one called Bitches Brew. They did another one for Thelonious Monk and some other musicians. They have a Grateful Dead beer.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think I saw some at Friar Tuck a couple months ago. It's been a while since I've had it.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Sometimes I found myself hurting.
I think it's rare to have a Dogfish Head that's not good.
Right.
They're always at least decent.
Well, they try those crazy beers sometimes, like the ancient ales, and sometimes those are a little questionable.
Touch one was different.
I loved it. I thought that was a cool idea, and I think they picked a good one for a winner, because I'm guessing a lot of those attempts probably sucked.
Now, I doubt he's drinking Bitches Brew or a Carl Spackler here. It's probably a King Cobra 40.
You big dog, you!
I love this character. He just doesn't swear. He's like the nicest guy in the world, and everything's going wrong for him.
485. There's five.
Wow. He forgot his award.
So there will be a couple of similarities between this and Trading Places, but there was one where a guy loses his job, is on the street, and drinking alcohol out of a paper bag on Christmas Eve.
I felt like leaving the award in the car. When I saw it last night, I was expecting that to be a setup for something.
Like a bigger payoff.
Mm. But I don't think they ever make any more reference to that happening throughout the movie.
It's a red herring.
I think,
like communism.
Could be.
Callback.
Or it's just to show that this guy, like, is pretending to give a shit to show, you know.
That kid can't walk.
Award for the mantle.
Yeah, he doesn't actually give a fuck.
I know the kid can't talk, but I thought his legs worked okay.
Maybe they're,
just saying.
That's their way from bridging from the original Christmas Carol to this version. It's like, psych, he can walk. But he can't say shit.
Yep. Drinking Tab.
Very 80s thing.
Oh, yeah, totally. Who's there? Maybe get a Fresca. That was a very 80s soda. It still exists, though. People just don't really drink it much.
Was Zima 80s or 90s? Was that late 80s or early 90s?
Well, shit, Zima came back this year.
And that's right. I forgot about that.
It's like a novelty. Like, hey, remember how horrible this was that we've made fun of for a decade? Well, now you can drink it again.
If you hate it at once, you'll hate it so there's the time.
I think it came out in that weird early part of the 90s that felt like the 80s still.
Right. When everything was extreme.
The 90s was like the shortest decade, because the 80s crept in until like 92.
Yeah.
And then we abandoned everything for the millennium at like 99. So like,
right.
It was like 90s. Seven cool years, but bookended by some real shit.
7 years of flannel.
And then a bunch. Doc Martens.
That'd be a good memoir title.
Seven years of flannel. All right.
Here we go. The ghost of his old partner.
Business partner.
Yeah.
I'll make myself a little drink.
Some pretty great makeup effects here.
Yeah. I mean, he's just shooting the holes right through him.
I don't mind you hitting me, Frank, but take it easy on the Bacardi.
I feel like they could have chosen a better alcohol for that line. Like,
that's
why
gross.
Take it easy on the cart, the mouse and the golf ball?
Yes, that's gross.
Yes, a mouse just pushed a golf ball out of his
head.
To old times, my friend.
Tailor made. And it just shoots out of him.
I think maybe all these golf balls are references to Caddyshack, so probably. I'm going to take another drink of beer.
It's Lou Hayward. Your old boss, your best friend.
Played by John Forsythe.
Dead. 7 years.
I think that's a great example of good actors being able to do something with expository dialogue.
More than three tops.
So we're getting a real just explaining the story through dialogue and that, but your dead delivery added something to it.
And he was Charlie in Charlie's Angels.
Yes.
And then Bill Murray played Charlie in the movie version, correct?
Right.
So there's another connection.
Doomed, just as I am. 1 minute. I'm on the 14th hole at Wingfoot, lining up a putt.
I've never played golf.
A heart attack.
I played once. I was terrible.
Worm feast.
Yeah. No.
I had one good shot out of the entire game.
You're a hallucination.
Run
on by alcohol. Russian vodka poisoned by Chernobyl.
Would have been cool if it went straight into the sun like that.
Silence!
I'm fine with miniature, but no.
I had it all. Ooh. I was a captain of industry.
Good excuse to get drunk at 8 in the morning, though.
Mm-hmm.
By women. Ah, adored. Let's be honest, Lou. You paid for the women.
I'm warning you, Frank. Don't waste your life.
I think, again, Murray does a great job of making the comedy land in this scene, because this is where the movie's tone is kind of all over the place, but this is where
it definitely goes over the top.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you got to come with us now.
This is where Donner was doing his ground it in reality to the point that it borders on creepy.
You are going to be.
Which I think is actually a great approach.
Ghosts.
Three ghosts.
Three ghosts.
He ain't afraid of no ghosts, am I right?
At noon.
Tomorrow's bad for me. As a matter of fact, the whole rest of the week is a washout. Ouch. Well, maybe we could have drinks, say Thursday. You, me, the ghost, Trader Vic's around 4.
He just plays the smug, don't take anything seriously asshole so well that it keeps for the scene from getting too intense.
Oh, it's like The Undertaker.
Or at least too intense.
Well, that isn't good. He can phase through glass now? He's Suge Knighting him. Bill Murray is Vanilla Ice being dangled over a ledge.
Painful to watch.
Yeah, it's
a bit rough and creepy. Pretty good special effects. That's a legitimate looking fall.
Yeah, it's better than Psycho. Well, that's weird.
So the phone just rang itself.
And it's Claire Phillips. Who's Claire Phillips, you ask?
Why does she sound like Karen Allen?
Claire! This is Frank! Cross! I know it's been 15 years since we talked, but I really need to talk to you right now. Something terrible has happened.
Did he just look at his watch?
Yeah.
It's been 15 years.
He's so rich that he has a watch that whenever keeps track of the last time he talked to ex-girlfriends.
Which is pretty impressive, pre-digital age.
Right?
That's some real steampunk shit there.
Yep, keep drinking. We will too.
Oh, that's right. Take a drink whenever somebody else takes a drink. Oh, we never established any drinking rules.
Oh, yeah.
Any drinking game rules.
I
assume every Scrooge or Christmas Carol reference?
Yeah, anytime there's an inside baseball or inside golf reference to Christmas Story, Dickens, anything like that, take a drink.
Which really, when I think about it, is the whole movie, so start chugging.
Right. And I would also say, you know, anytime that one of the ghosts is introduced.
There we go, yeah.
Take a drink.
We do now.
Any reference to the apartheid, take a drink?
That's a good one, actually. This is a Richard Donner movie in the late 80s, so there'll be at least one of those.
Oh, they turned Rudy Huxtable into a Christmas tree.
This is a weird scene.
He does look like Keisha Knight Pulliam from The Cosby Show.
He does.
Like her brother.
When they free.
Like how they're picking on the kid who can't talk.
Yeah.
Sibling in the family, the youngest. Yeah, don't give him any more issues.
Apparently this 80-year-old grandmother was watching your Scrooge promo last night.
Scrooge.
She just keeled over. It scared
And you may remember her as the mother in Goonies.
Goonies, yes.
The police therapist in the Lethal Weapon movies.
Terrific.
I knew that, Edward!
Was she married to Richard Donner?
Richard Donner is married to Lauren Schuller Donner.
That's right.
Has produced all the X-Men movies. And so much more.
Mr. Cross, you need it on the set.
I want that promo
so, every half hour. I guess she's just a friend of the family. His mistress, maybe? I don't know.
But yeah, Mary Ellen Trainer.
Thank you.
She actually has passed as well 3 years ago at age 62. She was originally from Chicago, but she was always in the Donner movie. She was in Lethal Weapon. She was also in Die Hard, so another Christmas movie there.
Why not? Well,
specifically. Right, she was the. Other news anchor in Die Hard, I believe. But this
is a Christmas. There's a little bit of areola there. Would have wanted to see her
nipples then. Just a tasteful amount.
You can hardly see them nipples.
A line improvised by Jack McGee.
Yeah, and I just watched The Fighter again recently. He's great in that.
Nice little Three Stooges comedy there. Get the nurse! And that was our second Trading Places similarity. We have two Christmas movies with breasts in them this
nipples.
Month. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Yep. Oh, and
Karen Allen. There she is.
No Time for Love, Dr. Jones. That was the other movie, though.
And I'm glad that you...
That was Temple of Doom.
That's true. That was Temple of Doom. But I'm still glad you brought it up, because now I have an excuse, a segue to talk about how we met. Do you remember the first time that we actually talked? I'm speaking to Kevin now, those of you listening at home. So
we've already gone over our origin story.
Yeah, which is, again, it was hanging out at lunch at school.
Yep.
We were introduced during lunch.
At the
lunch table, like my sophomore year or something like that. We hadn't spoken a word yet, but I was telling a story. And somewhere in telling the story, I said the word, God damn it. And out of nowhere, Kevin leans across the table and slaps me. Like, it was just a light slap. And I did this, like, what was that? And he had a perfect Sean Connery accent. He points at me and goes, that's for blasphemy. I was like, I love this guy. That's freaking hilarious. We've never talked before. Just does a Last Crusade reference out of nowhere. And it was like you were ready for it. The timing was just there.
I do remember that. That was a great lunch table.
Yeah. There were a lot of cool people that we're still in touch with that hung out then.
And I remember the East Campus lunches in the little cubbyhole next to the Dragon's Den. Mm-hmm. The oppressed white males is what we called ourselves, because they tried to kick us out of there saying we were a fire hazard.
Yes.
Because everybody wants to run into the middle of a burning building.
Yes,
everybody into wants a courtyard.
To go to a locked atrium.
Yes, if anything, we were preventing it.
But being that we were all white men, we thought that we'd shine a light on white privilege in a sarcastic way by calling ourselves the oppressed white males. We were so ahead of the times.
Does that guy have a swastika carved into his forehead Charles Manson? That's an unfortunate wrinkling.
Oh, wow. I thought the same thing.
Maybe he's an old wrestler and he bladed, you know, to get color or bleed. You know, I'm speaking wrestling jargon now. Maybe he cut his forehead in a really unfortunate pattern many times.
Or he's a neo-Nazi. I mean,
he is trying to put antlers on a mouse.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, wasn't Manson like a vegetarian or something, or am I thinking of Hitler?
I don't know. I eat meat just so I don't associate with them.
I mean, I am a vegetarian, so I don't mean to associate with them, but...
He's beating up that kid. Did you know Karen Allen's from Illinois as well? A lot of Illinoisans in this movie.
What part?
It says rural southern Illinois.
Rural southern. So rural.
So that could be Peoria. No name. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Carrollton, Illinois.
Wow. Never heard of it.
Yeah, me neither.
It is rural.
But yeah, I just, you know, I remember her originally, you know, we mentioned Indiana Jones, but Animal House.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was a great movie that we have not done. We mentioned National Lampoon's earlier.
That's a movie that people say doesn't hold up because of a lot of the content in it, that it's too, whether you want to call it sexist or it promotes predatory behavior or what. And it's like, well, how do you make a movie about 1960s fraternities and have it be a socially appropriate film? Damn,
have
What did happen last night?
Claire, it was something that I...
And this is something that doesn't exist in the other Christmas Carol movies. There is no love interest.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there is when he goes back.
Yeah, but we don't see her yet.
And he visits Belle. But, yeah, there's no love interest.
I feel like that close-up of him taking the card was very obviously not Karen Allen's or Bill Murray's hands.
Yeah.
I think those were definitely hand models.
Would you please, for the love of God, and your own
And this is something that Bill Murray said he wanted reworked in the script was more concentration on the love story so that you'd feel, you know, that he'd feel a reason that he wanted to be a good person again if he remembered being a good person.
Kind of like Groundhog Day, right?
Yeah.
This is Frank Cross. We at IBC are shocked and appalled by the senseless tragedy coming as it does at this season of giving.
Would you please hold on, God?
Milton Berle, not a good craftsman. Oh, jeez.
This poor woman.
I'm going to lunch.
I wonder if this was Donner taking a jab at people on the censory board.
Maybe the PMRC.
Is that what it's called? I forget.
Yeah, they're the ones that took Two Live Crew to court or whatever and got the explicit labels on all our albums and CDs.
Well, I thought that was Tipper Gore.
Well, she was part of it.
Okay,
that was like her group.
You heard from the embassy?
Yes, everything's
Do you
fine.
Wash, like, live. Double wash or clean your silver? Studio. Or did he bring those himself? He just pulled them out of his...
Painting the wall for us.
Out of his pocket.
I think he's just getting the water spots off of them or something.
Yeah, it ruins the taste of everything.
Largest baptism of all time.
That's just the point, Frank. I'm afraid you might be spreading yourself too thin. So I've taken the liberty of hiring somebody to work with you.
Oh, great.
I read that Donner really wanted Robert Mitchum and thought he might not do the film, and so he called Richard Donner over, Robert Mitchum over for a meeting with Bill Murray. And as soon as Bill Murray got there, he said that Bill Murray just owned the room, that they never got a word in because he was just so great at telling stories and so charming. And that Mitchum immediately was like, I want to work with that guy.
Now, I just think of Smallville when I see this guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you said that.
He played
I'm usually the Smallville referencer.
Lex Luthor's dad. He was actually one of my favorite people in Smallville.
Oh, absolutely. John Glover. And he's such a great... Oh, got to mention real quick. This is weird. The watch that Bill Murray's wearing says it is November 23rd.
Even it's though
Christmas Eve, but the movie was released on November 23rd.
What is this, weird science? Look at those fillings.
Hey, bud. When Preston hired me this morning...
He's losing his mind.
And John Glover's role in this is pretty similar to his role in Gremlins 2.
Yes.
Which, kind of a Christmas connection. Gremlins was a Christmas movie.
That came out a couple years later.
Mm-hmm.
My lacrosse coach.
And yeah, he's in both of those movies, he's the super goofy, fast-talking L.A. guy, and he's hilarious. In Smallville, he was just creepy. It was really good.
There's an eyeball in his glass. It's like the movie It, though. Right, nobody else sees it.
Right.
Is that Waiter Pennywise?
Hey, another Indiana Jones reference. That's the knight at the end of Last Crusade.
It is.
You must choose. Choose wisely. He chose poorly.
He loves alcohol so much he's frightened by water. Like, you want me to drink what?
I knew you'd come.
Wait, is that also Socrates from Bill and Ted?
It is.
Socrates.
Socrates.
Yes.
Geek.
Yeah, geek. I was pulling his face from something else, and yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he wasn't the Last Crusade knight. Maybe I'm just thinking of Socrates.
Let me save him.
Oh, no, that's a baked Alaska, sir. That's a dessert. You wouldn't want that, sir.
Look!
Oh, no, 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 sir. That gentleman had a meatloaf. It's not
there. It's full of it. All of this hallucination stuff is a weird element, but it works.
I'm going to go have some air.
He really starts to crack up throughout this movie. Like, he handled the first ghost really well. Just starts opening fire, starts blowing holes in him, you know, no worries, but he starts to lose it.
Yeah, he starts to lose it, and then he stops resisting, and eventually just is like, all right, this is happening to me. It's really quite a great... That fall was not intentional. He actually slipped on the water that he just threw.
And they just left it in. Uh-huh.
And that line always... the guy's on fire, and he throws water on him and says, sorry, I thought you were Richard Pryor. Which I think is a pretty mean joke, considering Richard Donner just worked with Richard Pryor like a few years earlier in The Toy.
Yeah, so the reference, for those who are unaware, Richard Pryor set himself on fire while freebasing, and it was pretty famous. Of course, Richard Pryor being from Peoria and stand-up comedy legend. And now we're in a cab with the singer of the New York Dolls.
You might know him as Buster Poindexter.
Yes, he was Buster Poindexter at this era. The kind of swing, big band type of singer, but he'll always be David Johansen to me.
I hate when people change their names. Just stick to one name.
Yeah.
Hearing that Sam Kinison was being thought of.
Yeah, this movie. Another Peoria comedian. That would have been interesting, but I guess Johansson was friends with Murray, and that's how he kind of got worked in.
Yeah, and then I heard that Kinison was super pissed off about it and hated Johansson for a long time or something like that, that there was some kind of beef because of it, but... No, I really like what he's doing with the role.
Yeah, I think he's my favorite character in the film.
When I say beef, you best believe I mean beef. B-E-E-F.
That joke was hot, hot, hot.
I do believe I'm a bigger fan of the Dolls than the Buster Poindexter stuff.
I read that the bassist of the Dolls...
Killer Kane?
Did you know about this? Mm-hmm. That he was kind of down and having a bad time after the band broke up, and when he saw this movie and saw that David Johansen was in it, that was what inspired his suicide attempt. He jumped out of a window afterward, like, upon
seeing
this movie.
He's the one who became Mormon, I believe.
Mm.
There's a documentary about him. They had a reunion of sorts a few years ago, put out a new album.
I like this touch because it's never explained in the movie, but if you see the Ghost of Christmas Past has these weird like elf
ears,
like he's kind of like this weird gnome elf creature, and then you know, the Ghost of Christmas Future is this weird electronic TV thing, like all the ghosts seem to have been people that were like actual people and are living this weird, like, doomed afterlife. So I have a theory that that was part of the story, but not written into the script, that ghosts are people who are trying to, like, get to heaven by helping other people see the light. And that's why at the end of the movie, he, like, waves to them all kind of thing.
I gotcha.
So it sort of seems like this implied symbolic thing.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Right, and that's why all the ghosts are kind of shitty people that are still trying to help another guy. Because, like, they didn't make it into heaven, so they're trying to help him or something like that. I don't know. That's my theory.
I was hoping we were going to get deep into this movie.
You can't see us.
I'm just getting deep into this beer. I don't know what I just said.
So, normally, Scrooge is at a private school, left abandoned by his family, grows up to become cold and bitter. Instead... he's being raised by a television, by indifferent parents / his brother, Brian Doyle Murray.
Playing his father.
Yep. So, the family resemblance. Watching Howdy Doody.
I've got something for you. Merry Christmas.
A choo-choo train?
No, it's 5 pounds of veal.
Dead baby cow?
Daddy, I have Santa for a choo-choo.
Well, then go out and get a job and buy it, choo-choo.
Ah, oh, Earl, he's only 4 years old.
All day long, I listen to...
smoking while pregnant.
Yeah.
My back hurts. My legs ache.
Although I don't know if that makes you a bad mother in 1950.
No, it doesn't.
They told you it made you a better mother.
It's just a sign of the times. Although, you know, it still happens, but a little more of a stigma attached to it now.
Yeah.
Baby, don't watch too much TV. It's bad for your eyes.
Hey, Mommy.
Merry Christmas, Frankie Angel.
Merry Christmas to you, Mama.
Frankie Angel, I think he had a couple hit songs in the early 50s. Don't Buy Me No Veal, I think, was the A side. I Said I Wanted a Choo-Choo was on the flip side of the 45. Don't Buy Me No Veal.
I was touched by a gift. A four-year-old kid receives what in today's marketplace is a $40 or $50 piece of milk-fed veal.
Frank, you still spent the next 15 years of your life sitting
I feel like you can tell they're friends because their chemistry is so on. Yeah. Like they're really working off each other really well.
I was a baseball player. One year I hit the home run that won the big game.
That was the kid on the courtship of Eddie's father.
I grew up watching a lot of TV, but I didn't turn into an asshole. Or did I?
A beautiful girl, like 15, with pigtails.
I don't think he did.
Embarrassed to know she snuck out of the house.
You're so pathetic. That was the little house on the prairie.
Was it the homecoming episode?
Yes, it was the homecoming episode.
Perfect timing for that comedy beat to work.
Let's face it, Frank. Garden slugs got more out of life than you did.
Name one. Take me to my office.
Gladly.
You know who else would have been fun in this role? Tom Waits.
Oh, that would have been great.
What's going on?
Lou Reed. It's going to have been fun.
Yeah.
We've had Christmas parties here since the dawn of the golden age of television.
Oh, Xerox and butts. It's like a Mad Men.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is when Christmas parties looked like Mad Men days.
Somebody's going to bring a riding lawnmower into the office. There's his hair. Good Lord.
Hey, Frank.
He's got the Michael Bolton cut.
Frank.
Holy crap, I just finally understood that lyric. Thanks to captions. On Wooly Bully, I'd never paid attention and said something about L7, and they're meaning a square. Because L7. Let's not be L7. Yes, exactly. Throwing tampons into the crowd at Lollapalooza.
In their defense, they were used tampons.
Oh, that makes it better. It's like right. A guar show.
You idiot! You moron, get back there! I don't believe this. Way I am! Did you see that, Tina?
Frankly, I'm not that dead. Now, come on.
I must have been out of my mind. She was crazy about me.
Not that one, Frankie. Not that one. This one.
A well-edited film, too.
Yeah, it's got good beats to it.
You all right? You probably should move some of those.
Velvet Underground, The Stones, The Who. I'm looking at all the album covers behind them.
Where did I get you?
Right here, and the sidewalk got me back here.
Now this is a great meet cute.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gonna be quite a lump. I'm sorry, here.
And she calls him Lumpy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this yours?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Is this your Playboy?
You had some things, didn't you?
Yes.
Here.
He's the king of eye contact, though.
And if you look at the name of the cab company, it's Bell Cab Company, which is a Christmas Carol reference.
Yes. She was Ebenezer Scrooge's love interest.
Yes. So it's featured prominently here during this scene.
Thanks, Lumpy.
Thank you.
Lumpy is Chewbacca's son in the Star Wars holiday special.
Like yes. Yeah, that's, I'm glad that you got that holiday reference in here.
Really.
Yeah, speaking of Lou Reed, I just that's the Velvet Underground that you're
the Warhol cover.
Do you shop here all the time? Because if you don't, I can walk on the other side of the street. Bum.
Would
Would you like to go get some Chinese food?
She's making the first move.
All right, what's going on?
Random cat meowing.
Love how reckless people are always portrayed as wanting to hit cats with their car in movies.
Oh, okay. Here's our semi-scandalous scene, I guess.
She's like the dude smoking pot in the bathtub who's going to drop a ferret.
Yep, nice marmot.
Hey, look, there's a gorilla climbing up on that big building.
Hey.
Well, when can we open these?
You can open one on Christmas Eve. That's what we always did in my family. You have to wait until Christmas morning.
Did you guys do that too?
Isn't that what you
did? When I was a kid, yeah, we did.
We're going to spoil one the night before.
Now we don't because there's no excitement to open your gifts as an adult. How about you? Did you do the Christmas Eve gift
thing? Yeah, we would get one gift on Christmas Eve, and we still do that now. But, I mean, we have kids involved. Yeah. So.
Oh, knives.
But usually Brianna, like, wants to give me the gifts as soon as they're wrapped. Nice. Like, she has a lot of trouble with waiting. I have to be like, no, I actually want to wait to open my Christmas gifts on Christmas. Like, I want to have something to look forward to.
But she wants to see the reaction. Yeah, she wants to see you appreciate it.
That was always my biggest complaint about the whole Santa Claus story was, as a dad, I wanted to take credit for that right off the start, you know. But yeah, the day before, you always got to open one.
Now, do you guys, because I'm not a dad yet, do you guys have an issue with the whole just Santa Claus? Like, is it weird lying to your kid? And then
the only reason I went with it is because I didn't want her to be the only one in school.
Right. That's how I feel about it. It's more of a, I want you to belong or not.
Well, that's a fun
feel
gift.
Like you're not missing out.
Yeah, they're hitting around at her freakiness.
Yeah.
Like, what was she shaving there? And now she's got the Karma Sutra.
Smoking pot. Yeah.
We're going to do the praying camel tonight. It involves a lot of humping.
Get it.
It's like going through a baseball card collection. Got it. Need it.
Yeah, they've done a great job of portraying her as the perfect partner. Somebody who's very giving, has a huge heart, but also wants to smoke pot and fuck once in a while.
And bark like a dog.
Right, and get freaky.
Lassie, go get cramps. Go get cramps, Lassie. I wonder if you're female. Let's turn her over and find out. Hey! Oh, what a nice coat.
And what you get from his face there, he's forgotten all of this.
Yeah.
You know, he's grown calloused over the years and lost a lot of joy. And he's now getting to remember when he was a lot happier and he had no idea.
I really gotta watch out for this one.
So do you recognize that guy?
The mailman?
Yes.
I haven't been paying attention to who he is yet. Let's see.
What could it be?
Yes. I think I do. Let's go for the close-up.
If you can't figure it out, then you're
Total Recall. Right? That's one thing I've...
Yes. Okay. Yes. He's been in a bunch of stuff. Another Illinois native.
Really?
I'm not even kidding. I think they just held casting somewhere.
Maybe. Maybe the casting was in Chicago or something.
He's one of those guys that you see in a lot of different stuff. But yeah, Total Recall is one of them. I'm scrolling through his credits here. He was in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yes, he was
Arachnophobia.
Yep. The doctor in Arachnophobia?
Yeah, I believe so.
And Frank, I want you to have dinner with us tonight. You and your girl.
Clear. Right. Clear.
And order us a stretch limo, too. See you downstairs.
Okay.
Hello.
He's a glorified mascot.
Yes,
So now he's the one that barks like a dog. So that's how it is in that house.
The president of the network just invited us to dinner.
Oh, no, we can't tonight. We're going to David and Kate's for dinner. We planned it for a month.
You can't expect a man like this to make plans a month in advance. We can have dinner with them next week.
Next week?
I think it's the biggest tragedy about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is that it could have helped resurrect Karen Allen's career.
Yeah,
it had it been a good movie. It's time to be a little bit less selfish, you know. It wasn't.
Maybe. Yeah, but it had that refrigerator scene.
That part was awesome, and the monkeys when he's swinging in the trees with the monkeys, that was great. This
is the opportunity of a lifetime. And Shia LaBeouf.
Sorry. Oh yeah, need to see more of him.
I guess I didn't realize how important it is to you.
For those of you who can't tell, all of that was sarcasm.
Dripping, like Bill Murray in a dog costume.
Frank, look. Maybe we should separate.
Can really see her freckles.
Excuse me?
Estelle, yeah, I had a hard time with this scene. Oh, right, because they seem to have a really great relationship. And it all ends.
It's turning quickly.
It all ends because he bails on dinner with their friends.
Right. Yeah.
To have dinner with the president of the, you know, it seems like a pretty reasonable request.
Yeah. Like, our friends are pretty understanding people, honey.
Yeah.
This guy isn't, but
it's done.
Like, I don't want to do this forever.
We can only assume that there have been other problems leading up to
this. God, I would hope so. Otherwise, you know, yeah, that's.
Tell him that you got hung up.
He just needs to be more flexible, I guess.
Yeah, that scene could have used at least one more rewrite to explain things better.
Yeah, because like it's like we are never going to see her again. Now is he in the proverbial doghouse here?
A frisbee with dog. Frank, let me sum this up for you. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you want. And you don't know what the hell is going on.
Sounds like a lot of people I know.
I gotta live with that. But I know.
One of those lines where you see the joke coming, but. I know what I want. It kind of works anyway.
And I know what's going on.
Hey, Frank, over here.
What's going on?
How am I supposed to know? I'm only the ghost. So long, sucker.
Fun fact, those are David Johansen's real teeth. That's why he got the role.
I have seen your northern
all right, it's time for some Buddy Hackett.
Till the master passion, greed, engrosses you. Farewell, Ebenezer. May you be happy with the path that you have chosen.
Well, I am happy with the path that I've chosen, you little bitch. What are you, crazy? Yeah, buddy, I'm crazy. Crazy like a fox. Crazy enough to see through your little tricks. I'm back. I can see now. No one could have been that simple and good and sweet and kind and decent yet caring, wonderful. Not on this planet. No, baby. Not unless they had something to hide.
Now, he's not quite to Lithgow levels here, but he's definitely chewing up the scenery. Yeah.
Maybe we'll just check things out over there. Operation Reach Out. Pick a side,
for example of not Bill Murray's hand.
And the voice sounded way too far away for that to be a close-up of his hand.
Right. Also, you could tell he was walking and the hand was standing perfectly still.
Right. He should have ate those orange slices.
You left me. You had to go somewhere and get your head together or something. Well, baby, my head is just fine. Check it out. It's right here where it belongs. What's the point? It's lonely at the top? It's not lonely at the top. Oh, maybe around my birthday and at sunset. And then for a couple of weekends, it would have raced out with even a really normal person. But that's me. I'm a widow of business. That's my life. I've chosen it. At least I work someplace that you can find when you're looking for it. Okay, here we are now. When I want a wife...
Bing.
I'm going to buy one. And she's going to be...
You can do that now.
To my wants and my needs.
I think our president did it.
Not like you.
A few times.
Let's make me like dirt.
Oh, Lord, another wild and woolly one.
Oh, yeah, wild and woolly.
Come over here. Let me get you a nice hot cup of coffee. And then you sit right there. I'll bring it to you. Robert, get up.
Hi, Dick.
This is a weird scene.
Yeah. We got, Anne Ramsey there.
Yeah, and I believe her final film performance.
Mr. Richard Burton. Drink up.
Richard Donner was very fond of her. She said she was just one of the most sweet people you'll ever meet.
That dick sure knows how to live.
Why do you keep calling me Dick?
I'm sorry, Mr. Burton. Maybe we don't know you well enough to call you Dick.
But after Exorcist 2 and Night of the Iguana, I thought we had something special. So could you please just do a couple of lines from Hamlet, please?
For the sandpiper.
Leave me alone.
This is one of those jokes. It's a family film, but as a child, I had no idea what was going on here. I knew that they thought he was someone else, but...
I am all kind of nobody coming at me, fool me. All those you killed before we had this year. You know, the ring before nightfall of Chia. I swear, by day I forswear.
Oh, it's not marvelous.
Now beat it before I beat you.
Eagles. Were Eagles there?
Yeah. Lovely. What a surprise.
Oh, God. Oh, God, Claire.
I mean, does he even look like Richard Burton, really? Do you see it, or is it...
So. Well, you said if it happened again, I should come by.
Well, what happened?
Well, I have been thinking a lot about the
homeless
past.
Guy checking out Karen
you
Allen.
Know, when it happens,
weird.
You start thinking to yourself, well, I've made a lot of decisions, you know.
Yeah.
And what would have happened if I had made different decisions? Do you know what I mean?
Burn.
Are you talking about regret?
Yeah, I'm talking about regret. Yeah.
Well, you know, the one good thing about regret is that it's never too late. You can always change if you want to. I deal with that every day.
She is a pretty one-dimensional character. Like, why is this great human being even associating with this guy right now?
It's been 15 years.
Right.
We got some huge problems this time. There ain't a fuse in the whole joint.
Oh, no, there are fuses. I'll show you where they are in just a second, Hazel.
Because, I mean, they're, like, cozying up.
Yeah, like, what?
Oh, no.
She's just been waiting for this to happen. If he was a jerk then, and you know he's a big-time TV exec now, of course he hasn't improved yet.
They just handle this. This isn't a big deal. I mean, it's just some fuses. You go down to the hardware store and you buy fuses.
Well, what about the turkeys?
And the turkeys are at the A&P? Look it up in the phone book.
No.
It's under A.
No,
if you can't find it there, it's under P.
I have to call them myself. I'll call them.
You don't have to call them. These are big girls, very big girls, and they can do it. Atta girl.
I'll be right there.
That was rude.
No, clear. Please, fire it.
But realistic.
Yeah,
you fire them.
They're volunteers.
Frank Cross is very well written, I think. But they could have done more. They could have developed this love story and her character in specific.
They're like, every day of the year,
even more.
I guarantee it.
In specific, is that even a thing? Particularly.
1 minute. I just got to make the phone call.
No, don't bother.
It was written.
Don't bother. Okay.
Yeah, by a couple
if you just
people.
Wait 1 minute.
Yeah, like you said, Michael Donahue and then Mitch Glazer.
Both SNL writers.
I'm going to give you some advice, Claire.
So. Writers who are great at comedy and developing male characters, but not good at female characters, apparently.
Well, Mitch Glazer, he works with Murray a lot. He wrote Lost in Translation, Bill Murray's Christmas special.
Which I love.
And also Rock the Casbah, I think, is another Murray vehicle that he worked on. This guy I recognize, too, and I can't find out who he is.
I've been thinking the same thing.
But he's been in other 80s movies. Look at them buns. Nothing says Ebenezer Scrooge like TNA.
Yeah.
That's the Solid Gold Dancers, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
I don't remember them dressing like that on their show, but maybe they did.
Did
you guys watch The Love Bug as kids?
I did.
What about The Music Man, where he sang Shapoopy?
Uh-uh.
I always thought that was funny as a kid, because it has the word poop in it.
Street urchin. Why would I say sea urchin?
Okay, what's your name? Sea urchin, street urchin. Street. Oh, he did say street urchin. I'm sorry, buddy. You're right. Okay, everybody, that's dinner. 1 hour. That includes walking time. 1 hour.
And then later... I think around the same time, he had a pretty big role in a different Disney movie, The Little Mermaid. He was the voice of Scuttle.
He was.
The seagull.
How are you? God, we were so worried about you.
A little Buddy Hackett resurgence in the late 80s.
Yes. That was my introduction to Buddy Hackett, so it worked.
That guy you're trying to place?
Yeah.
Was he in Bonnie and Clyde as the dim-witted dude that kind of got them all busted?
He might have been.
Maybe.
I can't remember. I saw him once years ago.
Ever since I saw him, too, I'm like, where did I know that guy from?
I'm going to take a crack at it and see if I can...
Where are you? I need a cigarette!
Uh-oh. He's been left alone on the set. I wonder if something bad's going to happen.
Hey!
Oh, I found him. He's like way towards the top of the credits, which everybody else in that scene is way towards the bottom. His name is Michael J. Pollard. He was in Bonnie and Clyde. You are correct. He's been in several different things. House of a Thousand Corpses. And here we have Carol Kane.
Now, originally, there was supposed to be an actual trained ballet dancer for this scene, for the master shots and for the shots from far away. But Carol Kane's dancing was so hilarious that they just kept it. And this is her really hurting Bill Murray. Bill Murray wanted it to look realistic, so he said, really don't be afraid, don't hold back. And again, did the same thing with Groundhog Day, with the scenes where Andy McDowell slaps him. So Bill Murray might be a masochist, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you kicked me in the wolf. It's
time to begin. Evidently, she did that a little too rough.
Uh-huh. Close your eyes. They had to halt filming for a few days to let his lip heal because she actually tore his lip.
Awesome! Close your eyes!
Now, did you guys watch Taxi?
Yeah.
When she played Lotka's girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
No picking!
See, I knew her more as a kid from Princess Bride.
Uh-huh.
And also License to Drive.
Yes. And Addams Family.
Oh, yeah.
She played Grandmama.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look.
There's
and I think the first one, but not the second one. I wonder where he's going. Perhaps the Tomunosis.
And now she's on The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Painful, Frank, but it's made your cheeks all rosy and your eyes bright as stars.
If you... touch me again, I'm going to rip your goddamn wings off.
You know I like the rough stuff, don't you think?
Jingle bells. Oh, stop. Hi. Come on, Calvin. Hey, Calvin. Merry Christmas, Cooley family.
And I wonder why Calvin didn't want to go inside the apartment. Maybe it's because his siblings dress him up as a Christmas tree and pick on him constantly.
And isn't the fact that his name is Calvin Cooley like a Calvin Coolidge reference?
I think it has to be.
Lynnell, I'm going
to
get freshened up and I'm going to leave a minute. Get ready.
Some more shitty art. I was just getting ready to say that. Get that shit off the walls.
You should go wash up now, you hear?
Is that Laura Winslow from Family Matters? Oh, here we go. It's the theme song of the movie.
Oh, look. He did it.
He's a bright little guy.
Oh, yes.
What's wrong with him?
He hasn't spoken since he saw his father killed 5 years ago. He just drifted away like Sleeping Beauty.
I didn't know that Grace's husband had died.
I do think it's nice and as about as progressive as late 80s could be if you're going to split Bob Cratchit into two characters to have one of them be a single woman of color raising her kids on her own.
I'm looking to see what that kid, what else he ended up doing. And really, it was this and the Jacksons' An American Dream, which that's a miniseries I watched many, many times. And he played Randy Jackson.
Okay.
Not American Idol's Randy Jackson, but the Jackson brother.
And here we see a clip of the best version of Christmas Carol, in my opinion.
Which one would that be?
The 1951 with...
is that Alistair Sim?
Yeah, Alistair Sim.
I own that one, too. And you got George C. Scott. You got Patrick Stewart.
How was the Patrick Stewart one? I never saw it.
It's all right.
Yeah! Probably.
Did you ever see a movie called Christmas Eve that Patrick Stewart is in?
I don't believe so.
It is terrible. It is truly one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
What the hell is she doing back there? Oh, this is weird.
And I highly recommend it. It's actually be a great drinking movie.
I'm taking Calvin with me, Mama.
She's just raspberrying his chest.
This scene kind of plays out like a bad acid trip.
You can totally see the wires on her costume there. It's actually pretty bad.
I think that's a dog from Married with Children.
Buck. I think you're actually right. That is Buck.
That's weird when I can recognize dog actors. Oh, yes. And this is like the, you know, the nephew having the Christmas meal.
On the Adams family, what musical instrument? I don't know why, but she really freaks me out.
Okay, we're going to say piano.
Piano.
Harpsichord.
Oh, and there's the other writer on the couch there.
Sir House, we better give it to him. Is it Mitch Glazer? Or,
yeah.
You
shouldn't have
given that to him. Because I think Michael O'Donohue plays a priest at some point.
And I remember her from, like, Just Shoot Me or something.
It's Wendy Malick.
Yeah.
She was also in Dream On. She's excellent. And her character's name is Wendy in this as well.
Dream On, starring Brian Benben.
Mm-hmm. That was a great series.
I'm glad.
It was Michael McKean in one of his obscure things that people always forget he was in.
What the hell is she wearing? Those are the weird earrings, and then she's got, like, the...
I think polar bear earrings and some kind of like reindeer
collar,
yeah,
necklace.
Which, by the way, I have to point out that last podcast or two podcasts ago, I have to apologize to our audience. I was drunk and I accidentally pluralized reindeer by saying reindeers.
Yeah, that really bothered me.
Sound like an idiot.
I get stuff wrong all the time.
Also, in a former podcast, I meant to say the former but said the latter. So I just want to point out to my audience, I'm not always an idiot. It's just inspired by drinking.
Yeah.
To my brother Frank, I wish he was were goofy.
He's correcting his grammar. The
richest man you know. A lot of grammar correction in this movie. The waiter was correcting his grammar earlier.
It's only murder, honey. It's a write-off. It's tax deductible.
I understand.
Okay. Of the boat that took them all to Gilligan's Island.
The SS Minnow.
This is so easy. You gotta know this.
SS Mackerel.
No.
I'm with you here.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, this is one point of the character that I really kind of empathize with, the Scrooge character.
Oh, Frank, we're fighting again. It's not fighting.
It's funny because they all seem to be pretty well off, but then, like, half of the wall is just, like, completely destroyed with the lab sticking out.
The bitch hit me with a toaster.
Oh, I love a girl. It's Barry.
Right. Well, this is nice. Where are we, Trump Tower?
Oh.
Seen a little bit of the city. Hey! Hey,
wow, some of those rubber icicles are very obvious in that shot.
Kind of like that that gate in the Omen.
Hey. Right.
Oh, I'm having the weirdest day. Come on.
They prefer police officer.
Help me, please.
Well, at least they made him yellow. As I imagine.
The New York ice is not very clear.
Oh, and there's that guy.
Prodigy.
Twisted Firestarter.
Pumpkin Instigator.
Herman.
How do you instigate a pumpkin? I still have not figured it out in 20 years.
A carving knife.
Here, Herm. Come on, man.
Another Groundhog Day similarity. How many homeless people is he going to kill by not giving them money? Jesus.
Liz says hi.
Got here by getting hit with a toaster.
All right.
See, although the tone is all over the place, upon repeated viewings, I think this movie, a lot of people didn't like it when it came out, and they were like, well, it was too dark and this and that. I think upon repeated viewings, once you know what to expect, I think it's a great movie. But I could see why people didn't like it or wouldn't like it the first time seeing it. Like, it ruins the spirit of Christmas or something. I don't know. But I think Donner does a great job of grounding it in reality, and then Bill Murray does a great job at adding that element of comedy. So I think they were a good coupling as a director-actor working together. But I can see why it didn't work.
Yeah.
For them, you know.
Well, I mean, there's bands that made great music and hated each other.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, some of the best. So,
yeah, you don't always have to get along to make a good piece of art.
Like, Dustin and I hate each other.
Yeah, can't fucking stand the guy.
That's the only reason I drink. Has nothing to do with the podcast.
Yeah, originally this was just called At the Movies. And then Seth got on board and was like, can we just get drunk?
I'm working with you. Where's the beer?
Make it a lot easier. I'm like, I can capitalize on this.
God.
Mr. Cross.
Hey, Frank, we've been looking all over.
Wait, you're getting paid for this? You didn't tell me that.
In the beer, you know.
Which only happened because I came on board, so it's kind of my fault. Okay, never mind. Yeah. Never mind. It works.
Huh? We got 3 minutes
here. I know how much time we got.
I just want to say, break a leg, everybody. I feel real weird about tonight.
This one's for Frank. This is his baby. Come on.
Don't lose it. Come on. You know, it has been such an honor to work for the great Frank Cross. I'm going to dine out.
Love the line earlier where Frank refers to this guy as an L.A. slime ball. He's clearly a New York slime ball, but that's, to him, this guy's worse because he's from L.A.
He's here for me. Come on. All right. Come on. Come on to me. You think I'm afraid of you? The dead eye man. I know what you came for. Come and get it, you.
Scaring Frank. Get this nutcake out of here.
We got a show to do.
He's in the show, Mr. Cross, as the ghost of Christmas future.
He's great. That guy is going to be a big star. All right, go watch the show. You're making history in that.
Hip hop. Why do they have a binder of hip hop? Oh, here's Mary Lou.
It's a great running joke.
God bless us, everyone.
Live on IBC, the world premiere telecast of a Christmas classic, Charles Dickens' immortal Scrooge.
Our Danny Elfman music is back again. I'm going to see who composed the music. I did not pay attention.
Who composed the music to this?
Yeah.
It was Danny Elfman.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
It is funny how they're like at the very, very height of society and they're drinking the shittiest liquor.
Right. Get the Bacardi. Now, there was an apartheid reference.
I see the Taj
there's
Mahal.
There's a Free Africa sign.
Yeah, I caught a few last night.
Bleak Christmas Eve.
Oh, you've got housework.
Oh, wow. How many cats do we have here?
Love this rich cat lover.
Budweiser. Yes.
Right.
It's like them drinking PBR and Trading Places.
You'd think he at least had the champagne of beers.
Right. I drank a magnum of High Life last night again. They started bottling it in champagne bottles for fun.
I thought you meant you were drinking condoms. I was like,
yep.
Whoa.
I drink out of large prophylactics. I
love that actually works. The cats are at the TV.
See, they could have gone for the Colt 45. It works every time.
Yeah, get the Billy D.
I love that. You see, when he was going to open the gift, some of the alcohol spilled on it, and so he poured it back into the glass as he was opening it.
You know, drinking and the holidays do go together.
Mm-hmm. I like the very relatable gift for anybody who doesn't have a lot of money, giving somebody a framed picture that you care about.
Yeah. But now you'd have to, like, get it off of Facebook.
Yeah, now it's even more meaningful because it takes even more work
to
get a hard copy of a picture.
Anymore.
For soon you shall be visited by the final spirit, the thing. All men
a lesser John Astin.
Yeah.
Post-Christmas future.
Oh, thank you, sir. Oh,
yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty well done. What we're talking about is the Ghost of Christmas Future appearing on multiple TV screens at once, but while something else is also happening. Yeah. It looks good. I don't see any mats from a blue screen or anything. That is not where he shot that gun.
No.
Yeah, you can the day before Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hello, Rabbit.
Could you give me a running start?
Sure. 1001, 1002, 1003.
They kept those awards.
Yeah.
Those are Golden Globes.
Yeah, you're gonna have to reload that gun.
You could have tackled him while he was reloading,
right?
It's a missed opportunity.
You had a bad day. Let me tell you a little bit about my day. I got fired.
No, I never read A Christmas Carol. Was this the Dickens version? Did Cratchit ever fire a shotgun at him?
Yeah.
Okay. But it was sawed off in that one.
It was a Smith and Wesson.
Oh, okay.
Ever since then, I've been blind, stinking,
and then they...
drinking reference.
They revamped it. I think I killed that, but I've got some porters here.
Oh, sweet.
Fuck work, really?
Now he curb stomps him.
American History Xmas.
Yes, there you go. That's a movie nobody asked for.
I'm sure some members of the alt-right community would really appreciate that film.
Alt-Right Christmas, starring Bing Crosby.
That one you could just keep as White Christmas and they'd love it just fine, really.
Yeah, I think that's why I keep picking movies out for us to watch at night. Brianna and I usually give her like two or three options, and I keep putting White Christmas in there, and I think maybe she thinks it's like a racially insensitive movie, but it's not.
I haven't watched it in a long time. It had a partner, though, that was rather racially insensitive. Oh, I can't think of the name of that one.
That's
the one
with like blackface. Nightmare on Elm Street shit.
Yeah, this was a pretty cool and terrifying idea, actually, I think. Death just having this TV screen that reflects what he's seeing. A reflective mask is always an evil-looking thing. It worked in G.I. Joe.
And now it's going to... Like, that just seems like a Beetlejuice hallway or something.
Mm-hmm. Which came out the same year as this movie.
I just got here.
Yeah, I like how warped and unrealistic and exaggerated the future looks.
Yeah, it was literally 2 years. Because, you know, he hasn't really grown that much. Okay, maybe four. But... I mean, it's supposed to be like Blade Runner right now for us. I'm pretty sure we've caught up to that movie's time frame now.
I know the head of pediatrics said we didn't get this kid out of here right away. This is not enough. I'm all over.
Those hallways are going to fuck with anybody's equilibrium. All of a sudden, she starts wearing a lot of pancake makeup. She like Susie and the Banshees,
which I approve of.
Yeah,
easily influenced too. You know, one comment just changes her entire life.
Right.
Well, I mean, she did leave him and their relationship for him working one night.
Yeah, bailed on our friends. Our relationship's over.
She's essentially become Lilith from Cheers. This is pale and cold and bitter.
I'm waiting for
Lilith.
Yeah. She's going to break in a cabaret any minute now.
But apparently a kabuki version of cabaret.
Oh, a single tear.
That was a lousy movie.
Yeah, I like that they did something different with the ghosts.
Yeah. No, you're in New York. You'd be closer to Disney World. Now we're going to burn a body. Why is he creeping around? Nobody can see him. Like,
effect.
He can walk faster. Wendy?
Oh, no. Jane. That's cool.
Yeah.
Death walks around with a fog machine under his robe.
Why did this happen? He's also got a mini Stonehenge under there, too.
Is that what he calls his penis, yeah, or is that a Spinal Tap reference? Yeah.
Whichever you prefer. James! I call my balls Easter Island.
So when you guys typically watch movies and get drunk while recording your conversation, do you try to take a bathroom break subtly, or are you just announce it?
We try to do it
either
subtly.
Way. Either
the great
way.
Thing about this is that when you leave, there's still two people to yeah. carry it on. Usually one of us has to cover for a minute.
Yeah.
I like it because I kept the show interesting. I kept it moving forward with a question.
Kevin just doesn't want to watch the death scene here.
It is pretty tragic. There he is. That's yep. Michael O'Donohue. You may recognize him from the SNL skit. I think it was the very first SNL skit where he's with John Belushi doing the foreign language educator.
Okay.
He would like to feed your fingertips to the Wolverines.
Yes. Yep. So his feet actually looked to be on fire there for that stunt.
I'm alive!
Cue the handles, Messiah.
Excellent reveal.
Bobcat's still pointing the gun at him.
Cut to the wide shot
with the gun in his mouth.
I'm the Woodstock baby. I'm gonna start with you.
Woodstock, Illinois is where Groundhog Day was filmed.
All right.
You're one of my favorites. Come here. I'm alive, and so are you. Hey, you glad to see me, or is this a shotgun in your pocket?
Or is that a mini Stonehenge in your pocket?
Yep.
Coming back, long soul. You know this one? That's my thing. I'm gonna do this to everybody.
You're gonna get some lawsuits.
I hired you back twice your original salary.
I think the Bobcat's dressed as Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an office up here. Would you like my office?
No, I don't like your office.
And so you.
What's the catch?
The catch is that you gotta take a shower, little. You are right!
Well, there's a problem here. I was looking for a Francis Xavier Cross.
That's me! But the great thing is, it's not me! The Jews taught me this great word. No.
It's good to work the Jews into the Christmas season, you know.
What time is it? Somebody's
is he going to send him to the corner store to buy the big Christmas goose? The one as big as me? Oh, he knocked his glasses off.
You and I are going to have some fun for once in this life. Loudermilk and Cross together?
My, what a glorious day.
Why is this the moon's just setting?
Say that. You
oh, here we go.
Yes, sir. Are you talking to me?
And
you talking to me?
Yes, indeed.
I believe that was Richard Donner playing the director appropriately. The
biggest goose in all of London.
Camera 3, follow the coin all the way down.
How are they slowing it down?
Oh, I got it.
It's live.
It's live, yeah. Oh, shit, I guess they had pre-shot.
He's nuts. Oh, he's finished.
Shut up!
Poor woman.
Stay out.
What's your name, son? Mike, say hello to your folks, will you?
Hi.
Mike is doing a great job here for us today. Thank you. Thank you.
That's Frank Cruz.
I am...
I don't give a shit.
Is he supposed to be in the show?
Honey, can't you see I'm drinking?
Good evening and Merry Christmas. With me in the booth is Elliot Loudermilk. Elliot, how are we doing up there?
Open his mic.
Wonderful. But I don't think you're going to be president tomorrow.
At least I am the president of the network tonight. Tomorrow morning I may not be.
You can bet your Aunt Susie's ash can on that.
Your Aunt Susie's ash can.
On Christmas Eve.
They're paying your salary, you ass!
What kind of a rat bastard idiot would schedule a live show on a Christmas Eve?
Only you, Frank.
You know, a week ago, I'd have kicked your butt right out of the building. But you know something? He's absolutely right. You are looking at a guy who told someone today to staple antlers to a mouse's head.
I think proof that this scene works is that the three guys drinking for the podcast have completely shut up.
Right.
Just engaged in the film at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's going. All these people, I'm sure, have incredible families, but I have. Look, I got a great brother. Look at this guy here. My brother James.
Well, this would be great TV. Like, if you were watching at home. This kind of crappy Christmas production, and then it's like, oh, this is real.
Something real is happening live that looks like it could be staged. I think Donner did a great job at making it feel real by he's emphasizing so much people watching it on the screen, even when it's in the studio, just showing it through the camera's point of view sometimes.
You're right about everything, okay? Except... S.S. Minnow, James.
How did he know that?
That brought them all to Gilligan's Island? The S.S. Minnow. No points this round, James.
The fuck?
Wait a minute.
How did he know? Wait a minute.
Bitch, I am high as fuck.
Today, their immediate reaction would be like, all right, where did you plant a device? Who's spying?
Right.
What's going on in this apartment?
That Google Play thing.
I want to talk to the idiot who put that moron on the air.
Oh, Rice Cummings is the idiot, sir, but he can't talk to you right now because he's tied up.
Uh-huh.
Yes. In fact, he just said that you are a flatulating butthead.
A butthead?
He said he never felt that way about a man before, but he really liked you in a certain way.
Two injured cats.
She's a doll. It's okay.
Full on punted that cat.
That was probably improv, I'm guessing.
That seems like good.
You're going to need champagne for 250.
I'm guessing a lot of this scene in particular was just him having a great time.
Send to me. Don't send the stuff that I send to other people. You know, it's not too late on Christmas Eve to have fun.
You can call people that you haven't seen. You can call a college roommate. You can call, you know, an old army buddy.
Keep that tape.
So did he have any starring roles in film prior to Ghostbusters?
I don't hear any partying.
Stripes.
Great.
Everything else he was.
Caddyshack was supporting. Yeah.
But yeah, he's usually used to doing like an ensemble cast of other comedians that he could work off of. Apparently, he had some difficulty with this movie as an actor. He hadn't acted in years. It's a major production.
There's Jamie Farr
carrying the entire thing.
It's really weird to think of him being established, but yet kind of early in his career still, you know, as far as film.
Yeah.
It's a federal law, actually. It's not just...
This is all improv, too, because he just wanted to make out. Oh. She's into it.
Mr. Cummings.
A lot of the reaction shots in this movie are very John Landis-like, I think.
Yeah.
But you know what? It wasn't great. There has only been one great.
Why is he laughing knowingly?
I don't know.
It's a girl that I loved a long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away.
A girl that I still love.
It's Christmas Eve. It's not too late. Is it?
Claire, do you remember?
Legs around like this, then this thing here. About? You circle me, chanting.
Like how all of her friends that he was so shitty to are applying.
Yeah.
I think in real life they'd be like, bitch, you don't need him.
Yeah.
Don't go to that guy. You can do better.
Serious physical or psychological damage.
Patsy! Can you get me to the IPC building in 3 minutes?
Which floor?
Excellent line.
The ratings are going through the roof. Back then you would have to call your friend and be like, are you watching this?
Yeah, on your landline touch tone phone.
We should be taping this.
Now how did that happen? That happened because it's Christmas Eve, I'm telling you.
I'm not crazy. It's Christmas Eve. It's the one night of the year when we all act a little nicer. We smile a little easier. We share a little more.
Drink a little more.
For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be.
It's a lying to our children.
It's really a sort of a miracle. Because it happened.
And showing our appreciation through gifts.
And if you waste that miracle, you're going to burn for it. I know what I'm talking about.
Right, there was Richard Donner, that last guy in the last show.
You have to take a chance. You do have to get involved. There are people that are having trouble making their miracle happen. There are people that don't have enough to eat. There are people that are
sometimes
cold.
In scenes like this, I like to watch the extras.
That's what I've been doing.
See who the shitty extras are that are really hamming it up so they can put it on their reel.
Say, oh, by the way, here. I get it now. And if you give, then it can happen. Then the miracle can happen to you. It's not just the poor and the hungry. It's everybody who's got to have this miracle. And it can happen tonight for all of you. If you believe in this spirit thing, you the miracle will happen.
And this is
and
where
you'll
Tony Robbins had a light bulb go over his head.
Christmas is
like,
once a year and it's a fraud.
I know what I'll do.
Not. It can happen every day. You just got to want that feeling. And if you like it and you
she
want
like
it,
she's resisting the idea.
All the way to the left?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
It can happen to you.
Fuck you saying?
Right.
I believe in it now.
I was like, do I have to step forward? I do. Okay. All right. That's what the director said to do. I'll do it.
It's great. It's a good feeling. It's really better than I felt in a long time. I'm ready. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
And we see it coming. We know what's going to happen.
God blesses everyone.
And it still is a tearjerker.
And then he stabs Bill Murray. He was like, you little shit, you can talk this whole time, but you've just been fucking with us?
Kid, I wanted the last line.
Yeah, you're gonna upstage me right now?
She got there fast.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, that's right, she had the cabbie.
Yep, he doesn't mess around.
Which, that's pretty good writing. But they wrote into there, how is she going to get there so fast?
Yeah.
I know, she'll just tail the cab and we'll do the custom past.
Clear the whole world. Whole world clear.
Hey, we just saw her.
And they I remember those little snowman pins where you pull the bell.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Something happens.
Oh, here we go. Send out a... Who sang this, like, the version that they released as a single?
I can't remember.
Oh, and there they all are.
You got it? You're getting on your phone. I'll let you do it.
Yeah.
So here we see all the ghosts singing along and looking all happy, even the doomed souls that are under Death's robe. So my theory is that
Fraff Muppet,
right? Jim Henson's Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That'd be awesome.
I would love to see that. The Rocky Horror Puppet Show.
It was Annie Lennox and Al Green.
Okay.
Never would have been. Yeah.
That sounds.
That's brand new to me.
Yeah, and now they're all singing.
I thought I knew that. Maybe I did.
They would not be dancing.
We have another quick resolution. Not quite as quick as Santa Claus the movie, where we just see John Lithgow float up into outer space, right. But...
That one boom mic is not going to pick up all of that. Hmm, that's a reference to another movie there.
You don't know the words? Come on.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Which, when did that come out? 89? Or was that even sooner?
He was
in that first. Obviously, he was in it first, because he referenced it, so...
I'm breaking the fourth wall here.
I wasn't sure if he was shooting it or if it had already been released.
Do you really think people sang in the theater? I don't.
I think that there were exactly five in each theater that were mumbling it because they didn't want to embarrass themselves.
No, the real women. You know who you are.
What's the actress's name again? had it.
Yep. Alfre Woodard.
Thomas Vitelli.
Oh, Pam Ramsey.
Yeah.
What a sweet lady.
Yeah.
Some, I mean, there's something about her. She, like, breaks through.
I love Throw Mama from the Train.
Yes. She was hilarious in that.
Yeah,
what's here, do that for you, clumsy poop?
Yeah. That's
one of my favorite lines ever.
This every is line she ever said in a movie was mean, but she was the Owen. Most lovable person.
Yeah.
Owen! Weird. Owen, give me a soda with ice. You don't have any friends. You don't have a cousin Patty.
You lied to me.
Yeah, clumsy poop.
I've actually been meaning to rewatch that one. Well,
we are at the credits. The film ended abruptly.
Yeah.
Were you going to ask a question, Kevin?
I was going to ask if you guys remembered Stars and Stripes video.
Totally. It was on Court Street in the plaza with La Gondola and everything. Yeah.
One of my first memories of a video store, there was a cardboard cutout of Ann Ramsey, and you push the button and she went, bah!
Really?
There was a promotional piece for
you. Oh, now we have the dance scene. And that was it.
Which, yeah, a quick little dance scene that they always cut out for TV for obvious reasons.
Yeah, so that was Scrooged. Usually during the end credits, before we get to our end credit song, we talk about whether the movie holds up.
Yeah.
You know, it was 1988, so we're watching this, you know, a good 30 years after it was released to the viewing public. And does it still hold up?
I think that it holds up, especially in the sense, I think it was better than people gave it credit for when it came out. I think that it's a really well done movie. There are a few scenes that didn't hold up really well.
And we talked about them while they were going on.
Yeah.
You know, there's some character development that could have been a little bit better.
I don't think that we needed a shot of the dancer's nipples. I think the dialogue could have taken care of it
for
a movie that you're trying to make it, you know, as family friendly as possible.
Right.
Maybe that shot of nudity didn't have to. It seemed a little bit exploitative.
But you could hardly see the nipples.
And I was really looking for them.
Well, you know, after last week, we just come to expect it, I guess. But yeah, I enjoy this movie. It's, again, one that I've owned for years. I can't say I watch it every year. They're usually on a cycle that's usually every 2 to 3. I would say I bust this one out and enjoy a repeat viewing. Kevin, what did you think?
So, as I said earlier, I'm not the biggest on Christmas movies. You know, I love Christmas Vacation, Christmas Christmas Story, things like that. I think what I really love about this movie, the things you can't deny, it's fucking Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And there's a few scenes that are truly haunting. Like, they might show up in your dreams. The arm breaking off as he's hanging him out the window. I'm not good on names, but Lotka's girlfriend, the creepy fairy.
Yeah.
She's straight up freaky at some scenes.
Yeah.
And so I can appreciate that. A little bit of scary horror mixed into a Christmas story. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. And it's that was what Donner and Bill Murray both were attracted to, the idea of just doing a comedy Christmas carol. That making it into a funny movie. And I think they did an excellent job at it. It got a little over the line once in a while.
It was 80 what?
88.
88.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. I mean, it was 88 was over the top.
Yeah.
No, that came out in 87. Sylvester Stallone.
I'm applauding the hell out of that.
Yeah. Wow. Santa Claus. Al Red Dog Weber. He got his nickname worked into his credit there. We're going to let you guys listen to our closing credits song, Ralph Gervais, Mouse Wrangler. That's the swastika guy. Must be Ricky Gervais's dad.
Must be.
Our band for our closing credit song is a band you've heard before on our Psycho episode. The band is called Neon Horse, and it is a super group featuring members of Starflyer 59 and Stavesaker. And they did a cover of Buster Poindexter's Is That You, Santa Claus? So we figured David Johansen, a.k.a. Buster Poindexter, is the ghost of Christmas past. What better episode to feature this track on. So here we go. This is Neon Horse with "Is That You, Santa Claus?"
Is that you, Santa Claus? Kids, I'm preparing for some Christmas sharing, but I'm passing cars. Hey, in my stocking, I can hear it knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus? Surely it's dark out, and just like a spark out. Who's there? Who is it? It's done for a visit. Is that you, Santa Claus? Are you bringing a present for me? Something pleasant for me. That's just what I've been waiting for. Would you mind slipping it under the door?
We did it, Seth. We closed out Christmas.
Yeah. So happy holidays, everybody. Whatever you celebrate, assuming you do something to appreciate
Festivus for the rest of us.
What kind of great time of year this is.
Yeah. You know, you listened to Bill Murray at the end of this movie. Everybody be the best version of themselves and just enjoy time with your friends and family alike and just have a great rest of 2018.
Yes, well said. And if you've been drinking while you've been watching this and you're not at home, take a break, have some water, hang out for a little bit. And
hydration is key.
Yes, it is.
Well, we have a fun month coming up for the beginning of 2019. We'd literally have theme months planned for many, many, many months to come, but we are going to do a handful of episodes all about box office bombs.
So you go ahead and you think of what they could be, and we'll see if what we cover is on your list.
Yeah, but we'll let you know what we're watching next week. So that way you can get a little familiar. I guess I should say next episode. I think we're taking a week off, and then we will reconvene in January. But it's a movie I've only seen once, and I am looking forward to a repeat viewing over a decade later. It is the Eddie Murphy vehicle, Eddie Murphy again, The Adventures of Pluto Nash. This is probably the biggest box office bomb of all time. High budget, very, very low box office.
And I have not seen it at all yet.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to it, kind of.
This movie, I tracked down a copy of it. It was $10 on DVD used. So there must not be a lot of copies out there.
But apparently high demand?
for our show it is. So thanks again to Bearded Owl for paying for that DVD and also for making our great beer. The Carl Spackler. I really enjoyed this one. You know, a lot of sours, sometimes they can be a little intense. This is a very easy drinking one. I really liked that lemon Earl Grey combo. I'm a fan of drinking an Arnold Palmer, though.
Yeah.
So this was like right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, and I could taste it. I could see the Arnold Palmer.
You could
Palmer
taste the Palmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm familiar with that.
The bergamot, too. That was nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for this week. We will see you guys 2019 Adventures of Pluto Nash. So until then, this is Dustin.
This is Seth.
Saying you don't have to be drunk to enjoy Scrooged, but it doesn't hurt. Happy holidays, everyone.